Hey, you, welcome to In the Thick. This is TGIF on a Friday. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
We're trying to figure out the name. That's the truth. But we are together on a Friday. It's just Julio and me.
Yeah.
And we're talking about what's going on, but we are looking for a new name for our Friday drop. So, hey, tweet us.
Tweet us. Yep.
So I'm going to go on a positive vent.
Okay.
The thing that has kept me really happy, democracy in street politics.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I were walking along Broadway on the Upper West Side, and it was something that became quite typical, which was to see a mom and her son, a student, probably like 12 years old, and they were like wrapping up a big banner that they had just, you know, brought home from a protest. And it's like, that's completely normal to see now on the streets of New York City. So that was kind of...
So you saw that on the walkout, the National Student Walkout. Is that you saw that?
Exactly. So this is when students walked out of class for 17 minutes,
mm-hmm.
representing each of the 17 people who were killed in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School that happened a month ago. So I'm just thinking about the lives of these high schoolers, so many of whom had been dismissed as disconnected. And they're showing us, they're showing everybody, like, we are completely connected. We know what's up.
Your kids are a little bit older. My kids are teenagers. These young people are, they know what's going on and they're very aware. And they're really committed to trying to talk about gun control. And they're just going to keep doing it.
And they're taking on the NRA. Like, they have like, they are frontal against the NRA, which is really something fascinating to watch.
This is going to continue. March 24th, there's going to be a huge walkout on D.C., the March for Our Lives. And I think I'm hearing that there's another one on April 20th, which is the anniversary of the Columbine shooting that happened in the late 90s.
Which you know, I covered that for CNN.
You did?
Yes, I was there.
I didn't know that.
Yes. No, I was at Columbine. I was there less than 24 hours after it happened. I was part of the large CNN team. And actually, Julio, to witness something like that as a member of the media is,
yeah.
It is a spectacle in the worst possible way. One live truck after another live truck with correspondents, you know,
yeah.
fixing their hair, going on camera, you know, in the case of Columbine, trudging through the mud because it had been snowing and then raining and then, oh... We need it to be human, and yet the whole context is completely dehumanizing.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the video of Manuel Oliver, who's the father of Parkland shooting victim Joaquin Oliver.
And then at some point, you don't see any more kids. You're not hoping anymore that the phone is not with him. Now you're hoping that he's in a hospital. In which moment of your life are you that you need to pray that your kid is in a hospital with a bullet inside his body?
I just can't put into words how I would feel with that situation. And just to see this man interview with such dignity and talking about the American dream and how they came from Venezuela and they lost their son. And it was just so normal in the sense of like, it was just Valentine's Day. This, you know, Joaquin wanted to bought roses for his girlfriend.
Yeah. And dying here, not on the streets of Venezuela, but here in the United States, the land of the free.
Yeah.
A lot of heavy news. So there was this really fascinating moment when everybody is watching one tiny district that's about to go away in about a year, the 18th Congressional District in Pennsylvania.
Democrat Connor Lamb with a stunning upset.
Connor Lamb, Democrat, won.
The amazingness of the fact that it was just over 600 votes.
Right.
I was fascinated just because it's like, this was a district that Trump had won by 20 points. To see it go like this is just, you know, another like, you want to deal with chaos and unpredictability, Mr. Trump? Here's some back at you. This was pretty unpredictable.
Democrats are looking at these races locally. So someone like Connor Lamb, he's not really a progressive, Maria. He's really, really like...
Very conservative.
Very conservative, right? But what they did is that they turned it into a localized race. So all this talk about him like, he's going to vote like Nancy Pelosi. And then the Republicans were talking about MS-13. That doesn't seem to be working, right? And they just did a local race. So I'm just wondering if the Democrats have the gumption.
I love that word.
Or
the chutzpah.
To localize every race, because this was a huge loss for Trump from 20 points. And this is not even a midterm election. This is a special election. And you lost, dude. You lost.
What I want to know is who was motivated to come out. Was it lack of interest for Saccone?
Right.
Or was it my vote is going to count now? If I thought it didn't count before, I'm sure I'm absolutely going to go to the polls. I'm absolutely going to make my way. I am going to vote no matter what.
And I don't know what Republicans are thinking right now as well. Like, where's Paul Ryan? Like, I'm just like...
That's the thing that worries me the most. Julio, I think, is watching what's happening with the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned with every turn at the way in which they are just acquiescing to everything. And it is... It's just of concern. You know, I mean, they will at some point become totally irrelevant if they remain with this kind of politic.
Right. Did you, by the way, something happened on Wednesday night in Brazil, which I've been following.
Terrible.
Yeah. And it's been flooding social media. We actually published it on Latino USA. Hashtag Presente Mariel. Hashtag say her name. It's about Mariel Franco, who's a Rio de Janeiro councilwoman. She's a gay black Brazilian. She got assassinated by two unidentified attackers in a downtown street. And she was actually an outspoken voice against police brutality and was an advocate for people of favelas in Rio. And she's dead. And there's these massive protests that are happening all over these cities in Brazil. And I know we talk about this, what's going on in the United States, but at the same time, like, to hear elected officials getting killed in 2018 in Latin America, it just brings out so many bad memories of the past, the ugly, bloody past of the region.
And it's what I was literally just writing about because, you know, as somebody who studied Latin American studies.
Me too.
So that means that we studied what it is when a country descends into authoritarianism.
Right.
Or into a dictatorship. To think that we are at this point, I mean, it is a young woman who basically decided I'm going to get involved in electoral politics after being, you know, pretty much of an activist. And for her to be murdered in this way, it does. It is, I'm sure, for the people of Brazil, the sense of like, wait, we remember how things started to go bad the last time around. It started to look like this.
Yeah.
So we have this update on another story that we've been following at In the Thick. This is the story, the case of the undocumented immigration activist Maru Mora Villalpando. So an immigration judge has ruled that the government has 1 month to respond to her complaint that she filed against ICE. She says that immigration authorities targeted her because of her activism.
Yep.
So she is no longer in detention, but she filed this complaint going after her jailers, as it were.
She filed a motion saying that her First Amendment rights were violated. And people that don't know about Maru, she leads the Northwest Detention Center resistance.
They started a bunch of hunger strikes.
Exactly. Like, because of the inhumane treatment that immigrants that were being detained in these centers or being mistreated. So she's been very, very active. And we're talking like during the Obama administration 4 or 5 years ago. And so there is something to be said about this whole targeting of activists, not to go back to Brazil, but the Brazil example is an extreme example. But there are examples in the United States now of Maru and other activists that are being targeted by the government, specifically by ICE. That should trouble people.
It's the reason why I am having such a difficult time, Julio, because, you know, again, it's the slippery slope of, you know, the picking of certain people. And the reason why people understand that there is something happening on a national scale is because we have social media and we're able to talk about this.
Right.
But it does absolutely feel like the targeting, the very specific targeting of certain people who have been doing certain things, who are full frontal, who are critical, and who are immigrants.
Yep.
With or without green cards.
Right.
Who can now be targeted and held. And Maru is, again, she is somebody who has just been exercising her First Amendment rights in the United States of America, because I don't know, I thought that everybody who lived in the United States had.
Right. But according, you know, some people might not think that Maru can do that, but she has the Constitution behind her people.
Which leads us to this other story, which actually is like, oh, you think undocumented immigrants don't have any constitutional rights? California.
This is a story of Lisbeth Mateo, who, if people are fans of Latino USA and the work we've done, and even Latino Rebels, that we, the story of the Dream Nine. Lisbeth Mateo is one of the original Dream Nine, the young undocumented activists that spoke out against Obama deportation policy by getting arrested, getting detained by crossing, you know, by actually entering into the United States. She was actually became the first undocumented immigrant appointed to a statewide post in California this week. Lisbeth's going to serve on a state government committee that advocates for underrepresented, you know, POC, low-income, undocumented students to help them put themselves on a pathway towards a college education. And you've talked to Lisbeth. I've talked to Lisbeth. She's amazing.
Well, she's a, by the way, she's a law school graduate. So
yeah, she's a lawyer. She's a lawyer. But one of the things in the last couple of days, all the headlines are like, California appoints undocumented immigrant to state position. And I'm like, she's completely qualified to do this. She's a lawyer. She's smart.
As we're talking about the fact that the Dreamers, in this moment, they have become part of our national conversation. So she is somebody, Lisbeth Mateo, created American history.
Yeah.
She will forever be known. She will be in the history books because she, along with eight other Dreamers, changed American history when they became the Dream Nine and forced the Obama administration into actually having to do DACA and to go beyond DACA.
U.S. media, a little bit more respect. More respect for Lisbeth Mateo.
That's a wrap for TGIF, or whatever we're going to call our Friday visit.
Insert new label here.
I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
And remember, go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us, because, you know, that's how people find podcasts. You know that. So you got to rate us and review us. People read that. And then they're like, let me try it. It really does help us to get new listeners. Also, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In The Thick Show. You can like us on Facebook. And our producer is Stephanie LeBeau. We had special help this week from Nicole Rothwell. Futuro Media's executive director is Erica Dilde. The music that you heard is courtesy of Nacional, Kept, and ZZK Records. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Nos vemos.
Ciao. I got royalty of royalty inside my DNA. Hey, I got, what's up? I'm just pumping myself up with some Kendrick Lamar.